If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle, joined by 2013 Stanley Cup champion Jamal Mayers. We break down Vegas' game one victory over the Blackhawks, 4-1 the final. What went right, what went wrong, and we look ahead to game two as well. It's all coming up on the freshest installment of the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, Jammer. So not much going on in the first period. Vegas outshot the Hawks 9-5. Then things got kind of wild in the second period. But the one thing we talked about the pregame show, and we thought maybe the first three games of that series against the Oilers, there was a lot of rust to get off because Corey hadn't done much all summer. And that was understandable. And that the game four performance might catapult him into Crow playoff form that we would see here against the Golden Knights. He let in a couple of uncharacteristic soft goals.
Yeah, he did. And I think he'll be the first to admit it. And certainly, Corey, maybe there was an exhale. I don't know if collectively as a group there was an exhale that they finally made it into the playoffs and they put so much time and energy and focus really for a month leading up, knowing their opponent, the Edmonton Oilers. To face a team that is as structured and as disciplined and as cohesive as the Vegas Golden Knights, Corey Crawford was not sharp. I think that he would certainly want that goal back from Riley Smith's first goal back. And I expect him, however, to bounce back and be good in game two.
Yeah, he had the one that he misplayed by Riley Smith that went off his shoulder. And then he had the very first goal of the game, the Shea Theodore Rister short side that looked like he was staring at and not screened on. Then we had the situation where the Hawks challenged the second goal by Carrier, saying that Reeves' skate was up off the ice and that he was offside. They reviewed it, and lo and behold, they decided to stick with the call that was on the ice. We never got to see the blue line cam. But that rule is going to be eventually fixed where that won't even be a discussion, that just having your skate above the plane of the blue line will be good.
Yeah, once it passes the competition committee, it will be a new rule, as you mentioned, where it's just simply the plane, regardless if the skate is in the air or not. But as it stands, the skate had to be on the ice for it to be onside. They ruled that there wasn't conclusive enough evidence to say that it wasn't. So that's why I believe that it stayed a good goal, saying that it was onside.
And then the weirdness that is 2020, you have the challenge that is unsuccessful. So that leads to a power play for Vegas. They're already up 2-0. Opportunity, a top 10 power play, both before the pause and in the round robin. An opportunity to go up 3-0. And what happens? They get the shorthanded goal by David Camp.
Yeah, and that play was all created. First of all, it started with a fantastic block by Olli Maatta, and then a great defending and stick positioning by Brandon Saad in the defensive zone. Leads to an opportunity to put himself in a foot race with Theodore. He outmuscles him for the puck, does a great job of looking over his shoulder, makes a great backhand pass to Camp, who comes in and does what you should against Robin Leonard. And hopefully the players watching are going to school. He plays so deep. He went right over the glove. And I don't agree with Stevie. I had a fantastic wrist shot. And, he makes no mistake with that shot.
The other weirdness that was going on in that second period was Robin Lehner losing the blade on his left skate, not once, but twice, when the Blackhawks had sustained pressure. One time they were on the man advantage. And eventually the Golden Knights got possession of the puck, and then it's whistled down because of it's dangerous for the goalie. That's something we don't often see, but it was treated much like when the goalie loses his helmet or a strap comes off, that once the team gets possession of it, they usually stop it and allow the goalie to get his equipment fixed, which is different than when you're a regular skater and you lose your edge. You got to end up, crawling off the ice.
Yeah, it would appear to me that they need to clean up that area, and that it's funny, though. Things happen on the ice, and then they start to think, whoa, we need to address that more acutely, because in the past, that wasn't even a possibility for the steel of the blade to detach from your skate. Now it really is a possibility for goalies as well. I don't know if that's ever existed. I know when I was playing, the skates where you could pop off the blade were just coming in. And there was some understanding whether or not they work or how often they would pop off on their own. Guys can change their blades. But now it's happening to goalies. I would argue that Robin Lehner wasn't in physical danger. It's different than if he were to lose his helmet or either blocker or a glove. In those instances, absolutely blow the whistle. But it's an inconvenience. It's difficult for him to perform his job as far as stopping the puck without a blade. But I thought that they should have kept playing.
So then we look at this game and we try to kind of figure out what went wrong and what was right 5-on-5. And the Hawks only had 20 shots on goal in the game. They had only 4 5-on-5 high danger chances. They passed up a couple of opportunities. The Doc give and go, where Doc made a great play through the neutral zone. Gets the pass from Kane. He's trying to get it over to Brinkett. The D-man's in the passing lane, and he just doesn't get the shot off. I mean, this is what a 19-year-old is learning before our eyes. Unfortunately, it's happening in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but hopefully this is where he learns from that mistake, and we saw it shortly thereafter. There was a 2-on-1, and he got that shot off.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it solely on Doc, but certainly he is a great example because it happened in the first 5 minutes of the game. I think there's a tendency as a group for them to think, wow, against the Edmonton Oilers, we got chance after chance. We were getting 15 golden chances a game, that's going to continue. It's not. The chances against Golden Knights are going to come few and far between. They're going to have to play more direct. They're going to have to win those board battles to create those chances and opportunities. The opportunities to have a sustained zone time are not necessarily going to be there. It's going to be harder to get to the inside the dots to get those second and third chances. So when you do get those opportunities, PB, you cannot pass them up. You've got to shoot the puck with the intent to score and look for those opportunities and never pass up a shot. Because when you're only going to get 20, 25, maybe never reach 30 in this series, you've got to make them count.
We want to give a quick shout out to Anson Carter with the NHL on NBC, former Michigan State Spartan, for launching Hockey Culture, a multi-platform content series devoted to promoting diversity at all levels of sport. Head to youtube.com/hockeyculture to watch Anson's interviews with Vegas forward Ryan Reeves, Arizona Coyotes CEO Javier Gutierrez, and be sure to subscribe to keep up with all the Hockey Culture content that will be released throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs.
If you travel for work, you know to pack 2 suits, business and swim. With your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. That a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you-know-business.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Back on the Blackhawks Talk podcast with Jamal Mayer. So, you know, we talked about Doc learning on the job. Same thing goes for Boqvist. And we saw a couple of times in this game where the size, the physicality, the speed of the Vegas Golden Knights was somewhat overwhelming for Adam. And this is something that, you know, he's going to have to – it's hard because a lot is falling on Duncan Keith to try to, you know, make up for some of the miscues of the youngster. But this is where you're going to learn what is working, what's not, and then address it to coming up in the next offseason.
Yeah, I think the easy thing to do would be to pull him from the lineup and insert somebody else. But I think in this instance, in this experience, there's part of that is learning on the job. And I think for the most part, Boqvist has done a nice job of learning on the job of his development. Also, we have to be a little bit patient in that it's not always going to be a linear path. I think that he's done some really good things and taken strides defensively. I'd like to see him play on his toes, create more offense. We can forgive if he has a little bit, you know, lets in a couple, maybe gives up a bad goal defensively. But he created three other opportunities or goals because of it, you know, on the other end of it. So I think his offensive upside would be something that I want to have him more focus on. But the reality is that it's part of the process of his maturation, and he's going to make mistakes. You're going to have to live with them because his upside is really high. And the reality is that you just got to simplify things for him in the defensive zone.
So how do the Hawks generate more offense 5-on-5? The Saad, Taves, Kubalik line had some looks. You know, Kubalik had the fantastic game one against the Oilers. He had the game winner in game four. He's been pretty quiet the rest of the time. As far as I did not mind DeBrincat, Doc, and Kane.
No. I thought they were good. I think that the key for me is they cannot leave a forward or another player on an island expected to start or sustain in zone pressure at all. Vegas is too big, too heavy, too disciplined in their positioning. You got to surround the puck with two guys and outman them and create a second quick. So when you get a puck into the corner, assume there's going to be a 50-50 tie. The second guy has to be that next layer. They were that next layer behind our forecheck. And so what happened was they had easy exits and we weren't able to have any sustained pressure. What made the Blackhawks successful against Edmonton is they did have that close second support. They were able to go from low to high or switch sides from corner to corner and sustain pressure and create opportunities for themselves. So for me, the key is, Let's do a better job of supporting the puck. Let's do a better job of being predictable for each other. Let's assume the puck's not going to get rimmed. Let's go for soft dumps, and let's get in on our horse and get on there and play on our toes and look to have some sustained zone time.
Is that a simple adjustment, getting that second forechecker in there to outnumber and try to come up with 50-50s?
It's tough. I think that psychologically, my assumption, I'm not in the room, but my assumption is that the coaching staff was telling them to be aware of Vegas' ability to counter.
Yes.
And so as a forward, you're like, do I really want to get in there and get caught? My thinking is, yeah, you're going to have to play on your toes to get your offensive game going. You're going to have to be that second quick guy. Trust your offensive partners. Trust your guys that they're going to get in there and create separation. And don't put it all on them to get separation, get the puck in, get separation, and control the puck. Not going to happen.
The Hawks go 0-for-2 on the man advantage. They had significant zone time. Again, they're trying to make seam passes. And, I mean, I don't know. I think they had three shots on goal on those two power plays. your thoughts on where it's at and if some personnel changes need to be made.
I don't think so. I liked the first power play. I didn't like the one in the third as much. I believe the score at that point was 3-1. I think they had one in the second period. It was much better. They were more intent about getting pucks to the net. Duncan Keith, I like when he shoots it early in the power play. It keeps the penalty killers on edge. I like when they use the bumper. They're going to – listen, Vegas was very aggressive.
Yes, and I saw that in the Colorado game. They're really aggressive. So it does open up the middle of the ice at times.
It does. And so also what I would do is they are also aware that we want to use Patrick Kane on the half wall. And right. So that D's going to pressure, the forward's going to pressure the D. What's going to have to happen is that forward that's net front on the goal line is going to have to pop toward the corner more, and you're going to have to bypass Kaner with intent down to the goal line and attack the net quickly that way. And as a penalty killer, that's going to soften them up. That's going to make them less likely to pressure so aggressively, because now you're going to create a 2-on-1 to the net, and I can't allow that as a penalty killer to happen. So that would be my suggestion and slight adjustment is bypass the half wall guy, get it down low and take it to the net a couple of times. That'll make them a little bit looser and a little less aggressive.
All right, take us into the thought process of a player. You lose game one, 4-1, but without calling out your two-time Stanley Cup winning goalie, we know two of those were ones that he normally stops. So do you leave game one thinking, this is a lot closer than the final score indicates? Or do you look at it a different way, like, look, this was their first real playoff game because they were in the round robin. They're going to get nothing but better. Max Pacioretty is going to get better. He hadn't played in a few weeks. This is his first game action in phase four. How do you look at it from a player's perspective with the Hawks?
Yeah, I'm a glass full guy. So for me, my thought process would be, listen, we didn't play our game. We didn't play well, and we were there for three quarters of the game. And Corey wasn't his best. So let's be better, and we're going to be right there. Let's play. And I like Jeremy's analogy in the sense that he was right. Let's be more disciplined and methodical and patient in the game. So when we talk about when hockey terms, and it's kind of a lot of overused, but you'll say, let's trust the system and stay the course. What you mean by that is it might not happen until the last 2 minutes, but you stay the course, understanding that we're doing the right things. And that's what makes Vegas so good, is that they will wait till the 19th minute of the third period because they trust the system that eventually you'll wear teams down. The Hawks have to try to find that same discipline. And so the talk in the room for me and the talk tomorrow and the talk at dinner should be and will be that we're right there. We just got to find a way to win those board battles, have more sustained zone time, and Corey will be better, and we'll get our power play clicking, and we'll be good.
Hawks will look to even up this best of seven series. Game two is Thursday. It's a 4:30 Chicago start. We will have pregame on NBC Sports Chicago beginning at 4. Jammer, great stuff as always. We will see you Thursday for the pregame show.
Looking forward to it.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. Thank you for listening as always. And remember, we will have a podcast for you after each and every game during the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Blackhawks. Thanks for listening. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll catch you next time. NBC's got something special for you, introducing our brand new streaming service, Peacock TV. From live sports to news, documentaries, and even some of your favorite shows, NBC Universal's new streaming service, Peacock, has it all. Learn more at peacocktv.com, exclusive home for all of NBC Sports free Premier League coverage, In Deep with Ryan Lochte, Lost Speedways hosted by Dale Earnhardt Jr., and so much more. That's peacocktv.com. To learn more.